Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
So, if our issues today were abandonment issues, or maybe you have a trust issue, or whatever your issue might be, we get saved, and now we got to deal with how we're going to deal with issues. And some of the times we have some surface issues that we can deal with pretty quick. Oh, yeah, well, praise the Lord. Amen. We learned the lingo. It's pretty good. But then we have some deep-rooted issues that nobody knows about. And the enemy likes to use our issues to get us to trip, to stumble, to fall.
Welcome back to our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. Last time, we saw fear and failure in Peter's denial, and yet the steady faithfulness of Jesus. Today we continue with Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, with a message titled, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. In today's lesson, Jesus is standing before Pilate, silent, beaten, and falsely accused. The crowd that once shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, now cries out, Crucify him. Even though Pilate knows Jesus is innocent, he gives in to the pressure and hands him over to be scourged. And in the middle of all the noise and injustice and cruelty, Jesus is silent. This moment reminds us that not every season is one of strength and clarity. Sometimes obedience looks like silence. Sometimes faith looks like endurance. Jesus doesn't defend himself because he is carrying something far heavier, the weight of our sins. Faith does not mean pretending everything is fine. Jesus shows us that it's okay to be overwhelmed, to be wounded, and to walk through dark moments without having all the answers. God is still at work. Even when life feels unbearable, if you're walking through a season where things feel heavy, confusing, and unfair, can you trust that God is still present, holding you, even when you're not okay? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's lesson, Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, with the title, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest, 'cause everything I need to be in Christ.
If you have your Bibles, grab them, and let's turn to two places for this morning's study. Two places is going to be Mark chapter 15. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. And once you get to Mark 15, then I want you to move a couple of books to the right to John 18. So Mark 15 and then the Gospel of John chapter 18. This morning we're going to cover verses 1 through 15. In a message I'm calling ready, jot this down. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. And everybody in here is going to go, I can relate. I can relate. I want to share with you this morning a little bit about me. I was born into a normal family, you could say, of five in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It was a small town back when I was born. We were a typical middle-class family. I had two older brothers that were twins. I had an older sister who was six at the time I was born. So my brothers, at the time I was born, they had two that were eight and my sister that was six. That's when I was born. And unbeknownst to me, when I was born and I was just a baby, my mom had developed breast cancer. And when I was around 18 months old, the Lord took her home. Growing up in a culture at that time without a mom, to be honest, was a really difficult time. Some memories that are etched in my mind are the ones when you're in grade school. I can't remember if it was third or fourth grade. Mother's Day would come around, and of course, the teacher would say, hey, let's all take a day and make a Mother's Day card. Well, I didn't have a mother, and I felt like a fish out of water. But I improvised. I made a card for the only woman that was in my life, which was my older sister. So I'm not sure if I said Happy Mother's Day to the greatest sister. I don't know. I just made a card because that's what we were doing. And I would come home with a Mother's Day card for my older sister. Another vivid memory is I remember my dad filling out those forms or those permission slips that we brought home from school. When it asked for mother's name, I know oftentimes would see that he would leave it blank or he would put N.A. Now, if growing up in a single-parent home wasn't enough, around the age of 12, we discovered that my sister was diagnosed with lung cancer. And at the age of 13, I was 13, very formative teen years, my sister, who was always an influence and always took care of me, well, she passes away at 19. So at 19 years old, the women in my life are gone. And of course, a few short years later, my grandmother died from cancer. And really, I can tell you that life at that point seemed out of control. Now, you're looking at me with shock and disbelief, but the reason I'm telling you this is because I believe I grew up with all of this death and all of these things going on with some major issues. Now, please understand, I wrestled with this all week. Lord, do I say this? Do I share this? And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, honesty and openness brings healing. Brings healing. Now, if I'm being honest in church, I believe that we all have issues. We have all some sort of issues. We're all struggling with something that might be keeping us from a closer walk with the Lord. Now, listen closely. When I surrendered my life to Jesus at 17, I brought all, everybody say all, my issues into that relationship with Jesus. I had so much baggage, obviously, from growing up. Now, it wasn't intentional, but all this baggage growing up, I brought that into my relationship with Jesus. Now, listen, I knew that if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I often wondered what life would be like as a Christian. Like, what about this living thing? And Jesus reminded me, guys, in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he writes, right, when John writes, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the issue is Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundantly. Now, if you're taking note, let me give you the definition of abundantly. It means exceedingly abundant above all. More abundantly, advantage, exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more vehement. He came to give us an exceedingly abundant life above all. Can I get an amen? Amen. So if our issues today were abandonment issues, or maybe you have a trust issue, or whatever your issue might be, I believe here's what we do. We get saved, and now we got to juggle issues. We got to deal with how we're going to deal with this. And some of the times, we have some surface issues that we can deal with pretty quick. Oh, yeah, well, praise the Lord, amen. We learned the lingo. It's pretty good. But then we have some deep-rooted issues that nobody knows about. Nobody knows about. And the enemy likes to use our issues to get us to what? To trip, to stumble, to fall. You go, how so? My mom dies of breast cancer. My sister dies of lung cancer. My wife comes to me after 28 years of marriage and says she has breast cancer. And my reaction wasn't, my God's bigger than this. My answer, my reaction was really simple. Well, okay, Lord, now she's going to die. That's the issues coming out. You get that, right? Those are those things that we wrestle with, and they're deep. But scripturally, I believe, honestly, the Lord wants to set us free from the pain and the bondage they bring. Do you believe that, church? The reason why is my Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. So his goal for us, listen to me, don't get me wrong. It's not so we can be happy all the time, because that's just a circumstantial thing. But the abundant life comes from the inside, knowing who we belong to and knowing that he's going to deal with the issues. Now, the problem with the issues is we hide them deep, deep in our heart, And the only one that can heal him is we've sealed them off. Jesus comes, he's like, hey, I wanna clean out that closet. And you go, oh no, not that closet. That's my closet. He's like, and we won't let him touch the very thing that only he can heal. So today you need to understand that, like, wow, we've got some issues. But Jesus wants me to live abundantly. Now, you've heard me say, it's okay to not be okay. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Is it really okay to not be okay? But it's not okay to stay that way. It's not okay to stay that way. Why? God has given us every tool. He's sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to walk in us. So for me to continue to walk in my abandonment issues, my trust issues, after so many years of walking with Jesus, the Lord's like, no, I've given you tools so that I can bring healing and so that you can learn to have life more abundantly. Now, let me explain where I'm going so you have a better understanding of what's happening today in our study. This past week, I've studied the main characters of our text, and here's what I found. Pontius Pilate, whom you probably already know, had some of the very same issues that we might have. He had some of the same issues. You go, what? Why? Well, think about this. This man was cruel. He was ruthless. He was completely insensitive to the moral feelings of others. He kept people at bay. He protected his heart. He didn't trust anyone. And Pilate felt completely alone. Ever been there, church? Some of these things, yeah. It's like, ooh, oh, man, Ben, you're stepping on my toe. Ouch! Today, Pilate meets Jesus. He meets Jesus firsthand. Problem? I want you to note his reaction. His reaction to meeting. Now, guys, take a deep breath and put yourself into that situation. Here is God in the flesh, face to face with you. Here he is. What's your reaction? See, think about this. Pilate, with all of his issues, in light of the one that can set him free, that can bring healing, refuses to deal with him. He refuses. When Pilate comes into contact with Jesus, he reverts to three things if you're taking note. You go, what are they? First and foremost, we're going to see some indifference. We're going to see some indifference. Second thing we're going to see is some denial. Denial. And the third thing we're going to see is Pilate plays silly game. Silly games. Let me give them to you again. Some of the what Pilate reverts to in dealing with Jesus is indifference, denial, and then he'll revert to silly games. You go, silly games, Ben. What are you talking about? Okay, so as we go through our text, remember that Pilate is fighting to set Jesus free. You go, wait, I didn't see that through the text. Only because he really doesn't like the Jewish people. That's the only reason. He believed the Jewish people were stubborn and rebellious. I'll explain more as we go along. But look at Mark 15, verse 1, as we jump into our text. I'm sorry, I had you go to John first, but let's go back to Mark 15:1. It says, Mark writes, immediately in the morning, the chief priests had a consultation with the elders, the scribes, and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. To Pilate. You go, what's happening? Your attention, please. This is the official daylight trial of Jesus before the Sanhedrin, before the Jewish Council, the Supreme Court, if you will. Okay? If you want a scripture reference, that's found in Luke chapter 22, 66 to 71. But here's what we learned. We learned that there are a total of six trials, three at night, which were illegal. You could not have a trial at night. You had three Jewish trials and three Gentile trials for Jesus. Okay? So as daybreak comes, we see the daylight trial of Jesus. Now, the question to us this morning by way of teaching is, why did the Jewish leaders take Jesus to Pilate at all? Why did they take him to Pilate? First, in your minds, they did not have a legal right to execute criminals because Rome had revoked that right back in 7 AD. So they could be mad, they could be furious, they could be like, crucify him. They couldn't. Rome said, nay, you can't do that. At that time, the Jews regarded this loss as a national disaster because to them, it was the final proof that they no longer had the basic right of self-government to punish their own criminals, and it demonstrated that they were totally under the what? The boot of Rome. It would almost be like the national government telling us, the Texas government, that we couldn't punish our own criminals. And if someone broke in your house and murdered somebody, that we couldn't do anything, the national level had to take care of that. Well, we'd be upset, wouldn't we? No. We got to take care of our own business. So what do? They take Jesus to Pilate. Now, in order to understand our text, you need some background on Pilate. You need to know who this guy was. You need to understand so you have a better feel for the text. Pontius Pilate, think about this. Little is really known about Pilate. There's an old tradition linking his birthplace of Pilate to a small village in Bicenti, a Samnite territory in today's Abruzzo region of central Italy. That's where they think he might be born. It's also been asserted by modern commentators that Pilate may have been born in Scotland and really an illegitimate son of a Roman ambassador. 26 AD, Tiberius Caesar appointed him as procreator of Judea. Now, he most likely held certain military posts before his appointment in Judea. According to the New Testament, Pontius Pilate had a wife. We see that in Matthew 27. And he brought her, Claudia Procula, to live with him at Caesarea, his headquarters within the province. Pilate governed areas of Judea, Samaria, and the area south as far as the Dead Sea, all the way to Gaza. As procreator, he had absolute authority over non-Roman citizens of the province. He was accountable to the Roman governor who lived in Syria to the north, Luke chapter 2, verse 2. History teaches that Pontius Pilate was appointed governor of Judea by Tiberius in 26 AD. Here's the problem. Immediately made bad relations with the Jews. Why? By centering headquarters of his army previously in Caesarea back over to Jerusalem. So that was like, okay, that's a no-no. The soldiers, no doubt, took their standards, right, which bore the image of the emperor. He took them with them into the holy city of Jerusalem. The very sight of Roman standards appearing in the side of the temple compound greatly enraged the people. What did they do? They vowed to fight to the death rather than to submit to the idolatry with or within the sight of the temple. Pilate yielded to their demands, ordered the standards to be returned to Caesarea. Other times, Pilate nearly drove the Jews to a frenzy. The first time was when he hung a golden shield inscribed with the names of the deities in his palace on Mount Zion. The emperor himself had to actually order them to be removed. The second time, think about this guy, was when he used the revenue from the temple collected from the redemption of vows for building that of an aqueduct. Now, let me just put in a little plug. When we go to Israel in February, you will see this Caesarea by the sea. You will see the aqueduct that was actually built by Pilate. There is a Caesarea Philippi, which is up north. This would be Caesarea by the sea. It's so amazing. Last time we were there, I think Nathalie took her shoes off and got into the Mediterranean. It's such a beautiful place. Pilate was really messed up. Pilate hated the Jews. He did everything to provoke them. But what you need to know is during this time, jot this down, he was on thin ice with Rome, right? You ever been there where your boss, where you're on thin ice at your job? You ever been there when you're going, man, I'm going to get fired. Man, if I get one more write-up, I'm out, right? This is Pilate, right? But he's like, so Pilate is on thin ice with Rome, with Caesar. But I was thinking about this. After putting all this in place, I think Pilate was just like you and I before our beautiful encounter with Jesus. He was just like you and I. So let's look at his reaction. So before we jump into verse 2 of Mark, let's go back over to John 18, because John gives us greater detail than Pilate. While you're turning there, think about this. Mark is going to just move quickly, 16 chapters. He's just going to tell us the facts. John and the other Gospels are going to go into a little bit deeper detail. So give me an amen if you're in John 18. Amen. Look at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves, the religious people, didn't go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Remember, we talked about this. The Passover, Jesus had that earlier on Thursday. This is Friday. Okay, it's about to be the Sabbath for them. Pilate went out and said, notice, here's Pilate. Let's chat with Pilate. He says, what accusation do you bring against this man? Speaking of Jesus. And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Why? Because remember, Rome had revoked their purpose to persecute or kill in 7 AD. So they have to do this. And he's going, listen, why are you bringing me this guy? If it was a modern day, you'd go, listen, all the Facebooks, all the Instagrams, everything on social media shows that he's just a great guy. He's feeding people. He's raising people from the dead. He's a great humanitarian. Why would you take him to the police? Why would you take him to the cops, man? Why would you put him? And they said, well, listen, if he were not an evildoer, we wouldn't have brought him here. Now, guys, if you're taking note, notice the indifference to Jesus right here. Pilate's indifference. Verse 31 of John. And Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. So now you understand where this came from. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. So then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him. Now, in your minds, here is God in the flesh. Fully God, fully man. There he is. Yahshua. Oh my goodness. You're meeting him. You're seeing him. What are you going to say to him? Pilate, what are you going to say? In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website,
inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I